The Udiville team would like to thank Community Access Media, the Atocalypse Food Truck, Palermo Realty, our Patreon subscribers, and all of our listeners for their support and contributions. We love you, Erie.
Idiotville is a mature podcast. We sometimes touch on adult themes and use adult language. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome back, idiots. It's Idiotville 220.
Wow.
I'm your host, Dill Spears, deep in the heart of downtown Erie's Alcohol Alley at Cam Studios. Joining us in the studio today, Theodore R. Ted Brogan, Esquire.
I'm still a lawyer.
You've always been a lawyer, right. And you always will be.
Thank you.
And Brent N. Liberty.
The N stands for now 6'1", got measured for the first time since I was like 17, 18, and I'm an inch taller than I've been telling people this
My
whole time.
My big boy.
Yeah, I got measured the other day at the doctor, and I was down to 5'9¾". I used to be 5'10½".
Oh, look at you. I gained that inch.
You did. You stole it from me, yes. You son of a bitch. So, Brent, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guests?
2 years ago, we were lucky enough to win Best Podcast in Erie. Then, our beloved title was ripped from us.
Unceremonious.
By the hated R. Erie. But we don't actually hate them. We don't hate them. We've always preached that this is a nice collaborative space where we want all the shows to succeed. A rising tide
lifts all ships.
Right. But there will be a rumble in the parking lot after this.
So before we have our rubber match.
Getting too old for this.
We want to have our good friends from R. Erie on. Thank you to Lydia Lathe. And Marty Wachuku.
I got it?
Wachuku. Yeah. Okay, I was going to ask you how to pronounce your last name.
This is the least you can do. Try to respect people.
Absolutely. My tactic, and this is very podcast meta, if I don't know how to pronounce somebody's name, mm-hmm. I just tell them, say your name for me. Mm-hmm. And that way I hear how they say it, mm-hmm. and it solves a lot of problems because it's like, I'm going to butcher this. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll be quite honest, I am terrible at deciphering names.
You know, it's actually sometimes it's really bad when it's like a common spelling, but they have an untraditional like pronunciation of it. Like, oh, here's Dave Smith. Actually, it's Smite He.
Yeah.
Like, what?
it's Dave. Come on.
Damn it.
It turns into that Key and Peele skit. So, you two have, you've been doing our Erie for how long now?
Two-ish years?
Yeah.
Okay.
2 years and some change.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell our listeners, because I don't know how much of an overlap is, tell our listeners a little bit about what your show is about and just the kind of stuff that you like to talk about on your show.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for having us.
Thanks for coming.
This is the beautiful sound of Lydia Lee.
Yes.
So our Erie was really born during COVID and just wanting to hang out with our friends. I was invited a little later to the game, but the idea was just giving a platform to local voices, local entrepreneurs, restaurant owners, artists, just local creatives, and folks doing good work that maybe don't get a space in traditional mainstream media, don't get to tell their story in other spaces, or maybe just like are underappreciated within our community. And so wanting to make sure that we're uplifting those stories, uplifting those voices, and giving a space to the stories that aren't being told. I think that was really important to us, that it's not always about being like, oh, perfectly equal, but it's about being equitable, right? Like, we're not showing both sides every time, because sometimes one side is the only side you hear all the time. And so making sure that we're like creating more equity in our media, I think was really a big part of it. Marty, do you want to add anything?
Yeah. And we as hosts and producers, we're all people who consider themselves organizers or activists. So, you know, we live in a highly polarized society where there's a lot of conversation around the different issues and politics going on. But we saw that there was a gap between the people talking about what's going on in government and people who are actually trying to make the change. So we all in different ways are participating in a system. So we wanted to also share our perspective.
So it's kind of a be the change you want to see in the world type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Brent?
So I've noticed a lot of times we kind of take the same points of views on a lot of things in completely different ways.
Uh-huh.
You guys are like this nice, you're talking talking to the people, getting things out, putting your things out there eloquently. We're Chapo's Trap House. We're just screaming our shit.
You guys are the ones making the change, and we're the drunk uncles.
Right. Yes. Well, as I said, I think that there's room for both of that. But I also know a lot of what we set out to do, too, was, and it's a big reason for our name, it's A, the plan was always to make it a misnomer, but B, reach those people that normally – like wouldn't want something like this and make them think of things a little bit different. But I do think because of that, we've definitely gotten some people that are just like, well, this is way different than I thought and I hate you. And I'm going to follow you around the internet for a month and tell you how big of a piece of shit you are. Do you guys ever deal with anything like that?
Oh gosh. I don't think we've become as famous as you all to get the haters yet so much.
Well, we kind of...
We prod them. Russell. Foster that environment.
No, but I do think that there's something about... there's a lack in media, I think, around loving the place you're from and loving the community, but not being afraid to call out the bullshit and call out the issues. And it's like either one or the other. Like it's, oh, I hate Erie and here's all the problems, or, oh, I love Erie and it's perfect. And I think we really... I hope tactfully bring up like we love Erie and there's great people and great things happening here, but there's also still a lot of really huge systemic gaps and issues that we need to address. And if we're not talking about them, then we're failing our community. And so I would think that you guys kind of do that too in maybe a different way.
I agree 100% that that's space. A gap. It's like, you know, you won't hear someone like, I don't know, maybe Lisa Adams go on the 6 o'clock news and say, well, this really sucks. Or like, here's something
here's some bullshit.
Or even like express an opinion at all. But
or tell an elected official to shut the fuck up.
I was so hungover on that. I was like, I shouldn't have said that. We should put the disclaimer.
Dish. Spill the tea.
Yeah, this is you're an idiot, villain. This is a place for this.
This is spilling the tea.
We found something.
Did you see a couple of months ago when I work for PA United and our local chapters, Erie County United, and they were organizing people to go talk about police accountability and ARP money and how they're using ARP money to fund everything literally except for like helping poor people. This is my opinion. And so people
That's
got
fact,
up.
But go on.
So there was one person who got up and spoke, and he got really passionate, and at the end he was quoting someone and like hit the table and walked away. And council president what's her name? Liz Allen, made a comment about, is he okay? Is he mentally well?
Oh, that was Cole. I remember that.
And this is the woman that, like, so many of us, including us on our show, like, rallied around when Ed Brzezinski, was super misogynist.
Called her abroad and on City Council and, all this other fucking shit.
And I'm over it. We've been in politics for a while. I'm tired of holding my tongue. And I was just like, shut the fuck up. All you do is just spew lies and nonsense and spin tells. But at the end of recording, I was like, wait, I shouldn't have said that. I can't be on a radio or on a podcast telling people to shut the fuck up.
Personally, I like that because I think if you're like us and we're trying to make our own media here, it has to be authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you can't just be reading a script and just doing like, it has to be you. And I feel like your show is you. And I think that's the way that's better.
And you know what? If you're that passionate about something, absolutely get that out. Like we have a lot of passion about a lot of things. We actually had Chuck.
Chuck gets us up all the time.
He was on our show right after that.
Is it Nelson?
Yeah. Chuck Nelson. I'm sorry. I just started Chantix and I am forgetting nouns.
That's okay.
But I'm also trying to quit smoking, so it's good. I'll sacrifice my nouns for
the nouns
while.
Will return.
Yeah. Hopefully the cigarettes won't.
No.
But he was on. He was telling us all about it. And it's like, you know, helping poor people with the ARP funds does not include giving more money to the police. I really feel like that's not something that we need to do.
Right.
Even just as if you're looking at that, like strictly just fiscally.
Yeah.
Right. Why would you spend that money, that one time lump sum money on a recurring cost?
Right.
It's going to be gone.
Logistically, it doesn't.
You know what we could do with it instead is not tell people on county council that we're going to do something and then promise those funds to a private entity and then say I can do this because I got elected king. That would be fun. I had to turn the news off last night.
No, I'm out of the loop. Say more.
Wait a minute.
Brenton Davis was a short dipshit again.
Baseball now. First, before we get into the latest,
yeah, I don't need John Whaley at my house crying.
Before
so.
We get into the latest trap Brenton Davis set for himself and then jumped into, I just wanted to say, with regards to the F word on a podcast, you know, I'm with you. Like I'll say fuck once in a while.
You just did.
And I just did. But I, like, I'm with you. I don't think it's something I want to say all the time. But, like, you know, it's totally okay in my mind. Like, it calls people attention that you're really passionate about something. So there's a place for it. I don't think you want to overuse it. It's like a break. For me, it's a break glass in case of emergency. Like, motherfucker, I need you to pay attention to this right now. This is very important. And if it's not,
when you're tutoring your children, you probably shouldn't use that kind of language.
Don't tell me what to do, Dale.
Sorry. No, my dad always said about that. If you use that word all the time, it loses its effectiveness.
100%. Yeah.
You know, if it's every single word in a sentence, then, you know, where is the emphasis?
So how did George Carlin do it? You know? He's the exception to the rule.
I don't know. At the same time, he had something to say. And it was sort of, yeah.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
He did have a lot of profound things.
He did. Yeah. He was very profound.
Yeah. All right. So, it comes from a place of nihilism, I think. But yeah.
So anyway, so back to current events. For anyone who may not know, the ARP funds were like born of COVID, I think. And it was like a form of COVID relief that was given out to municipalities and, you know,
literally
all kind of state and local government entities from the federal government. And so if you're us, now you have this kind of once in a generation opportunity that there's this pot of money that really just sort of appeared. And it's a huge decision. And so a lot of pressure on our local leaders, I think, to make really good use of this.
I think not enough pressure, if I'm being honest.
Well,
there's a lot of local municipalities that just gave all their supervisors raises.
Oh, shit.
Like Green Township. Green Township.
Yeah, my God.
And I'm like, that's ridiculous. And if you're not aware of it, if you're not paying attention, because we're all very busy, we're all surviving, doing whatever, like, you wouldn't even know that's happening with your money.
There was blowback for that.
It's our money. There was. Like, but like, that's ridiculous that happened.
They're all still in office. It was one of the sad things I think we learned about the Green Township ordeal is that the problem wasn't that they went and did it. It's that they were tripping over themselves to get that money into bonuses for employees as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, that seems like it shouldn't have been what it was for, you know. But
And so now getting to the county and our county executive, Brenton Davis,
King Davis.
Brenton the First.
What was the issue there? It seemed like to me there was something.
Working Man Mountain.
Oh yes.
It seemed like there was something. There was an issue that basically everyone agreed on, or there was. It seemed to me there was some broad agreement between Davis and County Council that there was to be some of the funds like spent. I can't remember what the exact thing was. What was it? They were going to partner with. Do you remember, Dale?
I'm trying to find the article, but it's basically. They wanted to do some stuff up by Barrand with it, and he promised those funds to get these people to commit to it. And what wound up happening was he broke the law because he didn't go through council for it.
He couldn't promise. I mean, he can say, I guess, whatever he wants, but there was nothing behind it. I guess there was no, he had no authority to make the promise.
Oh, reminds me of our conversation about a year ago with Tyler, you know, Tyler Titus, when, you know, they were pretty much saying that, like, you know, when it comes to allocating funds and doing a bunch of stuff, the county council holds a lot of power than that. You're not, it was kind of funny. Tyler said, you're not elected king before.
It's time for the Usher meme where he's like, watch this. Brent Davis is just making the promise.
Well, I guess if you just circumvent that.
And so in the end, I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be a difference or not. In the end, if everybody agrees on it and council would have voted for those funds, maybe, you know, it's not.
Well, then it's
just a bad look.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been so easy, in my opinion, for Davis to just call the council and say what's on his mind and just get everybody on the same page before making
a
promise.
Understanding their roles and the purpose 100%. Of government and what they're allowed and not allowed to do. I mean, I see this all the time. I sit on Washington Township Council. So many people get elected and they have no fucking clue about the rules. They think they understand the rules. They think they understand and they don't. And they haven't done the research. They haven't done any sort of like broader schooling or education or training to figure out, and there's opportunities for it. It's not for lack of opportunities.
I was going
to
say, like, not knowing itself is a tell that you don't care to find out.
Right. They think they understand everything, and then they try to tell me what to do. Excuse you. Yeah, it's crazy.
So Lydia, as somebody who has experience in that political realm, I always kind of wonder, because it sort of touches on that. It's one of those things you were watching, oh my gosh, you can't turn on the TV or anything right now without political attack ads. Right. It's almost as if a lot of times actual experience and knowledge is used against you. Like, you're some insider and I'm the outsider that will change things. It almost feels like that lack of knowledge is used as like a point of pride. Oh, and how hard does that make your job?
No, like, I mean, it's ridiculous. There's so much of our politics locally, statewide, federally, like, is not based on actual qualifications, on actual experience, on actual knowledge of like how this works. And you can be frustrated with the system. Like, I'm just as frustrated with so many issues that people on both sides of the aisle are frustrated with. But then, like, I'll run for county council and with some experience in local government, and the guy with no experience in local government that has, like, never attended a local meeting, like, then gets elected to county council. Yeah. And because he's an older white man, I mean, he's not old, but, like, that he fits the bill, or like you said, like, is like an outsider. And so I worry about that with a lot of other races going on. I don't know. I think there's an understandable distrust of government because there have been so many corrupt politicians and leaders that take advantage of us and take advantage of our trust. It's misplaced, I think, sometimes.
Yeah. You know, the disconnect I always feel is like, nobody trusts the government. Well, then, why are we the greatest country in the world? Because you'll have the same people say, I don't trust the government, but
this is America.
Intense American pride.
Stand for the anthem.
What do you think America is if not our system of government?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what is it that you love if you hate everything that makes it up?
No, but it's fat. I mean, that's right? Like, what is the United States if not our history, which is like marred with genocide and oppression, and like
in which we don't necessarily want to teach certain parts of, we don't want to know too much about that.
Are we just symbols and ideals? Are we just the flag? Are we just the anthem? Are we just the Pledge of Allegiance? And that's it. And whatever we've made up in our minds, and that's it.
I think that's part of the tension we're having culturally right now, is that fight between what we have been told and the mythos of the founding fathers and who got to have power and what we're actually trying to achieve and move forward with.
Rich white men shouldn't be in charge of everything. I feel
it's a crazy idea.
If I was rich, I would feel attacked.
And their flutes should be forever hidden.
I still feel like a part of the problem is there are people out there that are propagating that for personal gain. Right. You know, like, you'll see those things. They have another CPAC, you know, where they gather all the shittiest people on earth into a place and they shout racist nonsense. But, you know, they had a poll from there where it's like 80-something percent are scared of these liberal-run cities. Like, if you're that badass, why are you scared of like Erie, Pennsylvania? You know,
why are you scared of Chicago and Philadelphia?
But there's subtext in that, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, it's a dogma.
Because, I mean, not even outside of the racism, it's a total thing. It's us versus them, and so they see people that don't view the world as them as openly hating America. And I'm talking to people right here who love America, and they're trying to fight for it in their own way, and we can just disagree. But no, they treat you like traitors while they rush the freaking
This is going to sound rude, but I think a lot of people just don't have space in their head to love something but also acknowledge its faults.
Absolutely. Right.
And like when you just say it in that one sentence, it sounds very simple. Like, who could possibly disagree with that? Right. But
real Americans disagree with it, Ted. Come on.
Like, you say, I don't know, to just say that like a lot of the founding fathers were slaveholders, people will freak out, but it's just true.
Right.
Like,
it's
sorry.
Fact.
Right.
Well, and Marty and I have talked about this on the podcast extensively before about like the emotional maturity that's lacking from like us as a nation. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have the emotional maturity to say like, I'm a good person and I've made mistakes in my past. We as a nation can be a good nation and have made mistakes in our past, or still have actively making mistakes and need to work on it. It's not like either or. We're not like evil, horrible people indefinite. Like, people are capable of change. It's such a weird dichotomy and like this black and white thinking that is like such stereotypical of like the little kid, like,
well,
of, like,
who
what
to
a kid would say. Yeah.
We literally had a president who speaks like a 4-year-old. Mm-hmm. We have people in our state
state government who think and act the same way. We have propagated or put up these people who don't have broad worldviews.
On that note,
I almost asked you which president.
There's quite a few, I suppose.
Cannot believe
she really hates Clinton.
That son of a bitch, Gerald Ford. On that note, speaking of people who were just yes or no, black or white, I cannot believe that the Republicans nominated Mastriano for governor. The man is a cretin.
He's a caricature.
He is.
Dude, I think they've even lost faith in him.
They've lost their party. They've fully lost their party.
How many Mastriano commercials do you see? I saw something the other day that Shapiro's outraised him like 8 or 9 to 1.
Well,
like nobody believes in that campaign. They have punted the freaking governorship of Pennsylvania.
Right, and that's gonna hopefully solidify some rights in our state because our legislature isn't going to be able to do a lot of the things that, honestly, Mastriano was pushing.
Right.
They want to amend the Constitution to remove gay marriage. They want to...
Oh, my God, imagine.
They want to completely outlaw abortion with no exceptions, which is, great, Doug, you don't have a uterus, you know? You don't have that.
You know, that's just...
He doesn't get a vote.
That's such a default position for someone who's never thought about it in depth or experienced it.
Or it's just reaching for the far right votes.
Well, but who do those come from? Those come from people who've never had to think about it or grapple with it in any meaningful way.
Well, I mean...
There's millions of them, but it doesn't...
If you're devout evangelical... then your truth that you need to hear happens at church every Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a dogmatic belief. And no matter how you pore over things, we're like, I don't know, where did you think about it like this? Or I see where you're coming from. No, that dogmatic truth is up there on that stage every Sunday.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to be complex with it. You just have to appease them.
You
it's
just have to
fundamentalism. Well, and white fundamentalism.
And that black and white thinking only supports the status quo and like the people in power, right? Like if I can appeal to you and say it's only one or the other, and one side of the system is saying actually it's not one or the other, it's this gray area, and let's like have this like hour long discussion and educational session. Like no one wants to do that. Like the people dealing with day to day issues that have like 2 minutes to ever consider some of these like bigger, broader systemic issues, they need something black and white. So when you say, oh well, I agree, like yeah, you should have guns. No one should kill babies, right? Like when you can consolidate it to something so simple that I can tell you in one soundbite exactly what it is, and you can be like, I agree with that.
Yeah.
That's why I appreciate our podcast listenership so much and podcasts in general, because like where else can you talk about something in depth for an hour and have anybody listen to it?
There's a lot more nuanced thought. We're kind of on the low scale of that, but we still have some nuanced thought. But what we're going to do right now is take a quick break. We're going to come back with the Autocalypse Beer Truck Food segment. No.
Holy shit, swing and a miss. The Autocalypse Food Truck Beer segment.
Thank you. Well, I think the Autocalypse Beer Truck Food segment would be good.
He needs a beer truck.
Hell yeah.
I need a cigarette. I have had one cigarette today because I'm trying to quit. So
you're on chance six. You're allowed to at the beginning.
Wait a minute. Can you just like not an ice cream truck, but a beer truck with a jingle and like driving around
in the neighborhoods?
And they
selling hoppy goodness to all the dads.
They sponsor us and we eat a random food.
I love it.
What do we have this week? Well, I got
some Big Macs on the way. Let's go.
I got pepperoni balls. That son of a bitch Ryan and his pepperoni balls last night.
Well, now you said the baklava. Like, I'm telling you, the most underrated thing in the freaking the food hall.
We were so close.
It's the shawarma station.
Oh, I love shawarma.
And it just made me want to go there so bad.
I love shawarma.
So
all right.
Good.
We're going to go to the Autocalypse Food Truck Beer segment, and we will be right back. Hey, Erie. Where do you get your tacos? Listen in every week to Idiotville Podcast and play our game. Where's the Conquistador? Only on Idiotville Podcast. We're back in the studio.
Oh, I missed the studio.
And you know what that means? It's time for
the Autocalypse Food Truck
Beer segment.
Yes, I love it. I missed this.
So, Brent, you went and got some Ellicottville Brewing Company Fall Festival Lager.
Nice figure. Tis the season. It's feeling a lot like fall out there now.
It really is. It really, really is.
Yeah.
It was 39 degrees when I was driving through Meadville yesterday. Yeah. I was like, am I going to have to clean snow off my car by the time I get to Pittsburgh?
Don't even say that.
And, you know, I was talking.
Shut your mouth.
I was talking to my buddy. He's a meteorologist, and he said that it usually comes in a rule of 2 weeks. You have the first frost 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, you'll see your first flurries. And then 2 weeks after that, that's when you see the first collectible.
Is that what
snow.
They teach in meteorology school?
I don't know. He went to Penn State, so it could have been anything.
Sounds like something I could have learned from Punxsutawney Phil.
Oh, so yeah,
that's why they have it there, because we have a very famous groundhog.
It's like drunk uncle meteorology.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Oh, I love it. Yeah. Like, oh, you just wait 2 weeks.
Well, it's I think it was Lewis Black said that meteorology, you know what meteorologist means in Latin? Liar. All right. So I'm going to pull this up on Untappd so we can see if we have any fun comments from Untappd. And Brent, while I'm doing that, why don't you explain to Lydia and Marty and our listeners how we rate our beers?
So we rate our beers on a 1 to 5 scale. I don't think we've ever had anything get 5, though. Mm. But we do it on quarter points. Basically, 4 and over is recommend. Well, damn it. We need to find new beer for this, but we will use Dualicon next door over at Lavery because they have yet to pay us, and we have been giving them all sorts of free publicity for this for years. 2.5 is the most average beer you ever had. We always think like Yingling. You know, back when you were in college and you were slamming them, somebody got Yingling. Wow, Mr. Fancy Pants, this sounds great. But now it's like, yeah, thank you. I'll take the Yingling, but you're not like over the moon about it. 0 is pretty much the worst thing you've ever had in your life, and you can't believe we're feeding it to you.
Hot dog water.
Yeah.
Any of the seltzers.
I didn't like that seltzer.
No, I've had seltzers that are good. That was not one of them.
Oh, that's rude. Yeah, I'm down with
this
an occasional
crowd-y.
Seltzer.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm saying I didn't like that seltzer.
Yeah, it was not. It was a press, I think.
Yeah, it was not good.
It was not good. It was in my fridge. I don't know where it came from.
I guess I'd rather have a bad beer than a bad seltzer if I'm picking up what you're putting
down. That's fair.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you'd rather have a steel reserve than a press is what you're saying.
Oh, now that you put it that way.
His fridge is full of steel reserve and woodchuck.
What do you think about this beer that's currently in front of us? Because I'm tasting crunched up leaves.
Yeah, I'm tasting pine needles, crunched up leaves. Yeah.
No. It's a little, I don't know. I think to me, maybe this tries to have too much going on.
I think it's
or is it just me?
I like it.
Yeah, it's a lager, so it's going to be a little different, and it's only 5.4, so it's not like it's going to knock your socks off either.
5.6, yeah.
It's 5.6. Okay. Yeah. Let me read the details from the style guide. Every year at the EBC, we brew this beer for our local fall festival using only the freshest organic German Hallertauer hops and Munich malts to produce this royal, that's in capitals, brew.
Smooth, it is royal.
Yes. Smooth, malty, clean, light, and hoppy. Some of the comments are 0 IBU falls flat. 2. That's from Brandon. Brandon drank this hoping he was going to get an IPA.
Harsh.
And he did not.
That's,
maybe he got it on tap. Like, because if you look at the packaging, it's clearly not an IPA.
Yeah. You know, ask.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah. And most places you go into will have like this beer and then this is what it is and this is the. So, like, if you go the day, yeah, easy for me to say. If you go over to like Erie Brewing Company, they have everything listed. They have the ABV, all of it. So you know what you're getting. So that's his fault.
Yeah.
Read a book.
David K. Nice Marzen, well-balanced hops and malt. Excellent choice for a beautiful fall afternoon in Buffalo.
Yeah, so. Oh, man, I could just see his sweater vest.
He really painted a picture.
Yeah.
You know what they need?
I don't know. I think he's pretentious. I'm not a fan of him.
I hate that guy.
I need to propose a new beer rating website, but it's like Pro Football Focus, where they have like former football players do the rating and nobody else. You know, you need like Marty Balake rating the beers, and you don't need Brandon over here who doesn't know if he's drinking a lager or an IPA. gay.
Yeah, I'm just imagining Brandon. There's no way he's not wearing a flannel right now.
That's it.
Like, he definitely went through a phase of smoking a pipe when he was living in Brooklyn. Like, I don't like
him. He's almost certainly wearing a houndstooth fedora right now.
Yeah. Nah, freaking Brandon. I don't like him.
He probably wrote this on a typewriter.
Yes.
Uploaded it.
Motherfucking Brandon. Let's go around the table and rate Brandon.
0.0. All right. David A. says, I hate fall, but this beer is 3.75.
That's the strongest review we've had so far.
Yeah. we're not doing well. Usually we'll get these crazy one-word reviews. And
I feel like you have to drink this one in Ellicottville because it feels like a real fall town if you've ever been here.
Yeah, it does.
Is this New York, Ellicottville? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
right on the southern tier.
Yeah. Isn't that like just north of like Salamanca? Like in that area?
I think so.
Right around, that's in the ballpark.
Yeah. Ryan C., In the no clothes allowed zone.
What?
That's just where he's checking in from. I can confirm one Oktoberfest beer per season is enough. Purchased at 7-Eleven. 3.0.
How is 7-Eleven the no clothes zone?
The no clothes loud? Loud zone?
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, here we go. Dustin H.
I think it's more of a state of mind than an actual.
It's gotta be. He's got a lot going on.
Kind of enjoy this one. He made kind of contraction, so it's KIND'VE.
I've
never heard that before.
They just go kinda. We all were on chat rooms.
I mean,
that's what works.
That kind of.
Yeah.
I guess we do.
But it's that's not how you. It's not kind have. It's kind of.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Kinda has been working for a long time.
Yeah.
Not for Dustin H's pretentious.
Well, judging by the use of grammar, he knows his beer. So what's he have to say? Yeah.
Let's see what Shakespeare's got to say here.
Kind of enjoy this one. Not much to it. No real depth, but tastes enjoyable. Well, that's like the most backhanded positive review I've ever seen. Yeah.
Well, I guess.
No matter what people say, we're going to make fun of them. That's here's David H. Or I'm sorry, David M. Different David. His was a meh 3.25. Even his meh beers are,
They're above average.
Yeah.
So we don't really know his meh scale.
All right.
Well, it's probably similar to John G's, who it's good. 3.75.
But that's a solid meh on the David H scale or whatever.
Yeah. Tom S said delicious with 4 exclamation points, and he gave it a 4. Do you think if he had given it 5 exclamation points, he'd have given it a 5?
Maybe. I think so. Maybe. I think
we should go back through and comb through his reviews specifically.
And just do a whole show dedicated to his beer reviews.
Mm-hmm. And see if there's a correlation between the exclamation points and the number scale.
I know if I ever make one, there will now be an exclamation point.
It has to be.
Star scale. That will happen.
So Luke R.
Luker.
And this is the last one I'm reading. Not bad. 2.75.
So those all suck. Those are bad reviews.
Yeah.
Mm. Thanks for nothing, Dill.
What was the overall score of that one?
The overall score on Untappd is all the way at the top.
I don't want to know. I'm going to abstain from hearing this. I don't want it to color my judgment.
3.5. Which is probably pretty close to.
Yeah.
Might be in the ballpark.
Yeah. So let's go around and give it a rating and.
We'll let you guys go last. You can hear how it goes. So, unless you want to go first.
Am I going first? All right.
You are going first.
It's like doing the first presentation at school. Like,
this tastes like. I'm going to say it's close to generic lager for me. I was a little harsh when I said it tastes like crunched up leaves. It doesn't really taste like leaves.
I thought you were just painting a picture.
It's not
honestly.
So dry. Yeah. It's. Yeah, I thought I got a hint of blueberry at first there, but
you didn't. There was no hint of
blueberry. No, I think that was just erroneous. There's no blueberry in here, is there?
You didn't cleanse your palate after eating a bushel of blueberries.
I'm going to give this a 3, an even 3.
All right, Brent,
that's not bad.
So, I mean, I do taste the Bavarian hops a little bit. I feel like they stay at the back of my tongue after I drink it, but honestly, it took me a few. I'm almost halfway done with it to really try to nail down what this taste was.
Do you think of yourself as someone who could distinguish Bavarian hops from any other hops, be honest?
I'm getting there. Getting there.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm getting there.
Our guy Marty can go through and like be like, oh, that's Simcoe and Galaxia and Death Hops.
With
like
24% accuracy, he can identify the hops in a beer.
Yeah.
It's very...
Actually, with him, I'd say closer to like 80%. It's unreal. I don't
really
get how it happens. But no, you can get that. If you do taste on the back of your tongue, those hops are there, but it's not like high or really many IBUs at all.
It's zero, actually.
It tastes like it's 5.6%.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay. This is one of those beers where if you're just like not a craft beer person and you pick one up to broaden your palate.
It's a good place to start.
Yeah, that's a great start. But for us, it's just kind of a beer.
Yeah.
But it's definitely over that Yingling. So I think I'm also going to go with a 3.
You know, I was thinking the same thing actually, because it's very – it's one of those in the fall cleaning out the garage beers. Like you got it sitting on your workbench and you walk over and take a slug of it, but it's not – it's not like a summer shandy or something like that. It's more of a, it's chilly out, so I can drink this beer because it's a little thicker.
Well, I mean, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
that's like a beer scale I never thought of before. Like, is this a standalone, just sit there and enjoy it beer, or a okay while I'm doing something else?
Multitasking.
Yeah.
It's a perfectly fine, I set it beside the recliner and just keep popping while I'm watching the Steelers lose game.
Yeah absolutely. I can really taste the malt in it. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things, like I think the malt's kind of overpowering the hops, which is okay because that's what this beer is supposed to do. It's not supposed to smack you in the face with hops on top of hops.
But like, I didn't get much, like, I mean, yeah, that's there, but like I said, I had to dig deep for it. I feel like there's still not like a ton of taste in this beer.
You guys sound so sophisticated.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, let me swing this around my mouth and try to taste something.
You get kind of that, after you swallow, you
I
get
really
kind of that.
I really started us off low. I was like, it tastes like a, I don't know, it's a beer. 3.
Yeah. I'm also giving it a 3. I don't think it's any great shakes. But Marty, what do you think?
I am someone who typically does not enjoy IPAs, and is this an IPA?
This is definitely not.
This is a lager, but it still has a little bit of hops. So for me, as a person who does not enjoy hops, this is pretty good. But would I go for this at the store? Probably not. But if it's at a party, would I drink it? Yes. So I would give it a 3.
Mm. All right.
Oh, wow.
And Lydia.
Oh, I'm going to abstain. I don't really like beers that much.
That is fine. We have more than enough ratings.
That's all right.
It's going to get a 3.
Yeah, this is totally if somebody hands it to you, beer, you say thank you and you're cool with it.
And that's how
I'm not going
to. I'm happy. Nice. Thank you for inviting me to this party.
I'm not going to the beer distributor and getting a case of it.
No. Yeah, but I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, like if it's free, we need it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Obviously.
Well, I mean, I was inspired by the fact that it said fall on it and there were 6 of them.
That's
that was the bar.
It's a low bar, but we're managing to get over it.
Yeah, and then also it was cheaper than like the usual beers, even though there's 2 more, which lets you know that you're playing in a different ballpark for quality.
You're in the this is like a 3.0 beer, like the price point's kind of.
I mean, it wasn't like at Edinburgh getting like a case of Old German for $8.25 or anything like that.
You paid $8.25 for a case of Old German.
Yeah, I'm younger than you.
That's right. Yeah, 5.25, buddy.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
$5.
For a case of Old German or American. American was
American was worse than Old German. I will die on that hill.
American was $4.50.
That's why people got it. I don't care. I was higher class. I was willing to pay an extra 75 cents for quality.
You know he was rolling up to the gas station with like a roll of nickels and saying, fill her up.
No, that was for what was it? Quarter draft night on Wednesday at the Borough.
Yeah, quarter draft night, I would just go into my console and get like a fistful of quarters and go in there.
Yeah, I don't know how many times, like, all right, I got $8.73 to play with. We're getting drunk tonight. And I go home and I'm hammered. I have a pizza and I have $7.45 and I have no idea how it happened.
All right. So speaking of no idea how it happened, Brent, we have to play the game.
We have a sponsor.
We have a sponsor we have to go to. Fortunately, he likes us. He brings us tacos.
I like him, too. He's a great guy.
Who is our sponsor?
Well, I mean,
we're about to play a game named after his named after his business. So yes.
If you love the Atocalypse food truck, but you don't know where it is, you might find yourself asking, where's the conquistador?
So Brent, where is he?
All right. Well, he was busy last week at Winefest. Sounded like he had a great time. I think maybe cracked into the wine a little bit, but he said he's had his best season ever, and he wants to thank all of Erie for that. You know, it's really – I'm glad we're at the part of the pandemic where he was able to succeed. Like, that's awesome because he's a great guy. He deserves it. He works hard.
That had to be a tough business during the pandemic when people aren't gathering and stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When they're not getting outside, like, what do you do with that business?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he knew that Oliveria was clamoring for those delicious tacos and that sweet Mexican apple sauce.
That's all I thought about for the whole year.
I know. It's what got me through. At my lowest, I'd just be like, oh, Chris K, the conquistador, exists and he makes awesome tacos. That's what got me through. And I thank him for that.
Yes.
So he is at Lions, Tigers, and Beers today.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Where's that?
I don't know. Yeah, that is at the zoo.
That's the greatest thing ever.
Everything about that's great. Like, holy shit, there's a monkey. There's a taco. And now I'm drinking.
I can't think of anything that could possibly be better.
Yeah, like, just replace Zubu with that.
Yes.
I know. My nephews and niece loves Zubu. I don't want to take that from. We can all live in the same world. Maybe I can just get drunk in Zubu.
I'm going to be honest.
just bring a flask. You're fine.
I'm going to be honest. I would go there for the tacos, but otherwise, that just doesn't sound like it's for me.
No, or it's extremely for you.
Yeah. Just like walk around the zoo drinking.
You know how awesome the orangutans are?
Something for everybody.
Imagine seeing the orangutans when you're hammered.
I'd be too afraid. I would like wander into the lion's den and like try to start a fist
fight.
It is
surrounded by glass. You're okay.
Our friend Doug.
Now the rhino. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I would like.
So, rhinos are like super docile. It's the hippos you got to worry about. Mm.
Okay. Oh, I know. I've watched that show on, what was it, like Discovery, where like people just get eaten by. They come out and like, I'm lucky to be alive. And they're like missing half their jaw and like three limbs. And I'm like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. If you ever want to see something cool, watch
it's
them.
Almost all of your limbs.
Watch them feed a hippo. They'll like throw a whole watermelon.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll just catch it in its mouth and just go.
Jeez. But he's there.
Feeding tacos to the hippos.
So if you're there, I mean, I don't know how much harder we could sell. They don't even have hippos at that one.
They should.
But the giraffe's cool. I just want to hang out with a giraffe and drink a beer and eat a taco. And thanks to our beautiful city, our zoo, whoever's providing the beer, and the conquistador himself, I can do that today. I can leave and go do that.
You can.
I think you're going to.
I'm dying to.
It sounds like you're going to do this.
I am probably.
We're going to end right now.
I probably want to do this.
That's the end. Thank you so much for joining us.
But that's pretty much sums him up for this week. Next week on the 8th, he's going to be at Cauldron and Thorn.
Ooh, good call.
It's over there. It's fun.
Yeah.
Where is that?
Well, yeah.
That is over off of like, it's on 8th Street. It's kind of by like where the like Bellows is or where like the Perkins used to be and now it's going to be Underdog. It's like right in that area.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, I asked to give such great props to Cauldron and Thorn because it's like there's no curb appeal. You don't see the place at all from the road. It's at a place where everything fails. And look at them succeed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Seriously.
And I do want to send a shout out to Brent's cousin Jess.
Yes,
who does,
Jess.
Does readings there pretty frequently. Keep an eye out on if you're friends with her on Facebook or if you follow her on any social. She always posts when she's going to be on. We're going to start trying to share her stuff.
If that's cool. Yeah. If she wants us to do that, I don't ever want to just go out of my way and share somebody's stuff. Maybe they don't want it shared. But if she wants it, yeah, you know, we're always happy to help.
She's there to make money. I'm sure she'll be fine.
All right. We'll get people to spend money with my cousin Jess.
Yes. So let's go ahead and wrap up the Atocalypse Food Truck Beer segment. The Ellicottville Fall Festival.
It's customary to chug the rest of your beer at the end of the beer.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's get out the beer bong.
All right.
Okay.
And we say,
beers to you.
We are back.
We're back.
From the Atocalypse Food Truck Beer segment, not the Atocalypse Beer Truck Food segment.
Both. I like
either
to think.
Or, honestly, yeah. But we want to take just a second to thank one of our sponsors.
Palermo Realty. Yes, it's getting a little colder out there. It's going to be crisp. You're going to need a nice, warm place.
If you don't have a place of living, now would be a great time to sort that out.
Or if you go to your place and it's just like, what a piece of garbage. I know a guy who's got you.
We do.
Yes. Go to Palermo Realty. I mean, who doesn't want a nice, affordable place with all the amenities? I know I could go for that.
You don't have all the amenities?
What amenities are you lacking, Brent?
Do you not have an immersion blender?
Well, yeah, I do not.
Slap chop. It's the slap chop.
Well, our showers are pretty much somebody sits in the upstairs bedroom with a hose and just puts it on jet while somebody dances on the patio and gets clean. So a working shower would be great.
Okay. Well, you should probably talk to your landlord about that, because they're obviously not
Palermo Realty. God, are they great?
They really are. So,
and they give us a quarter every time we say
Palermo Realty.
See, it's going into our Christmas fund.
Yes.
So we can buy presents.
Which we...
Watch out, smart dumb. You're getting a Pokemon card.
Again. 1 year for Smart Dumb's birthday. And Smart Dumb is Brent's son.
Okay.
He really wanted... Was it
It was a Wii U, yeah. Which was, you know, in retrospect, a dump of a system. But he was like 5 or 6, and he really wanted it.
Yeah.
And I had a bead on it, and it was when it was hard to get. And so the whole time while we're using it as code of what I had to do, like, it ended up being like a trip to Buffalo to get this and everything. We were saying that he was getting an apartment-sized washing machine. And he's like, well, why don't you want that? I paid good money for it. It's kind of expensive.
You tell your 5-year-old he's getting a washing machine.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, you'll be able to do all your laundry right up there. You just got to hook it to the sink. It's going to be awesome. So the day comes, and yeah, it's his birthday. He's like, well, can we at least go to Target and play on the Wii U there? And I'm like, yeah, but let's wait. Your apartment-sized washing machine's coming really soon. Blew his little mind.
We couldn't find a box big enough to put it in so that he thought it was an apartment-sized washing machine, because that would have been the icing on the cake.
That would have been great. It would have gotten the dryer for Christmas. We got the whole year taken care of.
Yeah, and you know what? You would have been Father of the Year because he'd have clean clothes.
Yes. He could clean my clothes. That'd be awesome.
He wouldn't do it.
I make him do it now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So he's 16 now. So
yeah. So he oh,
that kid. Where were we? Where am I?
So we're back with Lydia and Marty talking about Art Erie, and you're coming back.
Yeah, we are planning around sometime in the winter.
Yeah,
we've been doing our resting, our learning, our creativity, and now we're talking about what we want to do. We're thinking about changing our format, scheduling.
Yeah. I think it was, we took a break over the summer, and we've done that a couple times before, taking breaks here and there. And I think that's been really important for us as creators, but also I think as like role models for like the world that we want to be living in, that acknowledges like our human needs to like just take a break, and like we're not all slaves to
you can't force
our job
it when it's not there.
Like, whatever. Yeah. Like, this is, we choose to do this because we love to do this. And if we're like, hey, you know what? Like my stepson's in town for summer, or like I have this really crazy work stuff going on. Like this is stuff we choose to do that we love to do. And so the moment that it feels like, okay, this is becoming stressful, like we take a break, we take a step back, and we reevaluate, and we figure out, you know, when we can come back to it. So I think that that's been really cool to have that flexibility.
Yeah,
that is great. And the nice thing
better
is,
in my system of going and doing everything I can as hard as I can until someday I sleep for 11 hours and then refuse to leave my house. That's what.
Well, I think your way better. Yeah, I like that a lot. I think it's one of the benefits of having a creator-owned content is okay. I don't feel like doing this week, or we're going to go on hiatus. Mm-hmm. You don't have to clear it. You don't have to worry about losing your spot. If you don't want to make something right now, don't make something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you want to change it up because the format that you were using was good, but you want to try a different direction, you have that opportunity. We morphed into an interview show. We were not one originally, and that was never our intent. So every week, it's like, do we have a guest this week, or are we going to have to go, like, you know, extemporaneous?
And we used to have like a rough outline of this is what's going on in town, and a lot of it is this started in his basement, you know. So it was like, who, we don't know anybody, who are we going to get to go into his basement, you know?
we've had exactly 2 guests in our basement,
and they're like our good friends
up. Well, 3 now, so
yeah
because we had Paul Bills, and we had Nick Sorensen,
and then we had
Uppy last week, and Uppy of course got us hammered.
Yeah, but they were our good personal friends. It's not like, if I mean, I'm not working, hey, do you want to go to Dill's basement? No, you do not.
It works on me, in fairness.
Yeah. It would be fine, but I'd understand being creeped out about such a thing. I'm not about to ask anybody
We generally do not do guests at my house, but for the most part, like, the flex to the interview thing has been really good for the show because it brings in different listeners. So do you have any sort of inside baseball on what your format change might entail?
Can I say it?
Yeah, go ahead.
We're thinking about taking it to the streets. We feel stressed sometimes around, like, who are we going want to have on the podcast, and connecting with our own people or connecting with friends, trying to find people to interview, versus we're people who are comfortable with canvassing in our work and our personal lives. So what if we just went door to door and talked to people and showcased our Erie?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's really cool.
I love that idea. That is awesome. Now, are you gonna stick to the audio content, or are you gonna add a video segment to it?
Both. Yeah, we're gonna add a video segment for sure. We want to kind of lean into that a little bit more. And I think, the idea was getting back to like the people of it, because at the core of it, it was about showcasing our Erie, right? Mm-hmm. The voices of Erie, the experience of Erie, the lives of Erie that don't get covered by mainstream media. And I think I think we still stuck to it the whole time, but we were very issue focused in talking about topics or events or systemic problems that we saw, and we would bring local people to talk about that. But I think going back to like, we need to connect as people. I think like locally, nationally, like we need to connect and remind ourselves like your neighbor is a human being, mm-hmm. whether they have a certain political sign in their yard that you agree or disagree with, or whether they have lived the exact same life as you. Like they're a person with a life, with a story, with like experiences and feelings that like we can all connect to. And if we can get back to that and to the core of that, I think we'll just be better people for it.
I love it because for one thing, it's unique. I don't think I've heard of a show doing something like that before. But also because, if you come across maybe, like you said, a yard sign you don't like or someone whose opinion you don't agree with, I think it's always worth getting behind that a little bit underneath the surface and figuring out what's behind it, because, you know, everybody has their own story and their opinion doesn't have to be wrong. They might have landed in a different place than you, but you can really get to common ground if you dig deep enough. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do that in your day-to-day life. Maybe not everybody makes time for it, but perfect opportunity.
Go ahead, Brent.
You know, I was just thinking, like, canvassing and stuff. I mean, I'm sure you guys get, like, some resistance. I guess it's probably called some evil things.
I want to hear more about those experiences.
But, you kind of have to break down those walls with people. And I really think that if there's anybody who's going to be good at it, it's you guys, just because you have experience in that. And then also, one thing I've noticed, I don't know if you guys know, is just from interviewing so many people, it's like you personally take some of everybody that you interview. You change your perspective changes. Maybe your view of your own personal capabilities change. And so I think that might be good too, because, you know, I think they could, you knock on somebody's door with, Trump DeSantis stuff, and you have a conversation with them, and maybe, you understand them a little bit more, and maybe they understand you a little bit more. And maybe as the listener, we can all understand each other a little bit more. But I guess what's the strategy for one? Are you just going to keep going until you find that person, or?
I think I'm personally working on having less judgment for people. I think growing up, I say I grew up here in Erie because I spent almost my entire 20s here in Erie, and we have lived in a very toxic political environment, and I have fallen under that stress and anxiety of where, like, when someone says something wrong, you go after them and everyone has to be perfect. And I'm undoing all that learning because everyone's afraid. Everyone's suffering right now. Mm-hmm. And to really just go to someone's door and let go of all of the narratives that I have in my head about who that person is and really just get to the core of what they care about and what they're worried about. Mm-hmm. I think it will be changing for me personally, but it will be changing for our community and like what we are capable of building together and mm-hmm. coming together around.
And what I'm hoping is that you run into people that are thinking the same thing, because they are out there, you know? Mm-hmm. There are some people that, yes, they write toxic nonsense on social media all day long. They wake up, they turn on the whatever news station that they listen to, and they just get mad. Mm-hmm. But maybe there's some other
when he talks about me and I'm in the room. He doesn't acknowledge it.
But maybe if you didn't watch OANN all the time.
I watched that for the first time last night.
Oh, how was that?
They were talking about how unions are terribly powerful. I was like, this is not for me, but let me watch it without judgment. I'm trying to work that muscle,
And let me tell you about the lazy union worker. Like, Marty, damn.
It's fascinating, but we need to understand what people are watching and what is, like,
what's informing their
How they get their truth.
Brent, you had something?
Actually, I lost it because we kept going in different directions.
Right. Okay.
I spoiled it.
No, it's good. I'd rather have a good conversation and then talking points. That's why we don't sit here with the script and write it out. I'd rather have a conversation, you know?
Yeah.
So, what are some of the barriers that you've encountered in your time creating content, running into people, running into opinions, difficulties, things like that?
Scheduling is the main thing for us because we're very busy in our work life. But there have been, there has been a time where we had someone on the show who said some pretty misogynistic thing. And they're like, do we air this? Do we not? And then they afterwards asked us not to air it. We had a disagreement with our former co-host that was difficult. Yeah.
Those are tough things.
Yeah.
For sure. We've had the same sorts of things. We basically tell people, if you tell us before I complete the edit that you don't want something out there, we will remove it.
Yeah.
Unless it's like super newsworthy.
Well, I mean, so... Yeah, without going into like too much detail, but yeah, we've definitely grappled with the power of a platform, and not that we're like powerful by any means, but like the power of a platform, like, and using that thoughtfully, and it's a privilege, right? Like I think about my white privilege a lot, or my socioeconomic privilege, or like my geographic privilege, whatever. Like, it's a privilege to have this space, and that if by airing a certain interview, we would be harming someone in an irreparable way that is already maybe overcoming multiple barriers to their success in their community. Like, what's the purpose of that? And are we doing more harm than good? And like, for myself as a social worker, like, my first instinct, like, ethically is like, first do no harm. So if my action is going to harm this person, even if there's like some gray area there, like, I have to figure out how can I first and foremost, like, not harm them. Like, if it's not for the betterment of other people, then what's the point?
Yeah. Or is there a harm to a person or a group that is somehow overcome by a greater good? Right. That's a hard line to draw, maybe.
Yeah.
And I think that one thing that we've had to look at, and I'm sure you have too, is me keeping this under wraps.
Right.
Right.
Good? Who's it helping?
Yeah. Is it just helping this person, or is it more harming a larger group of people, or people need to know about this person? Fortunately, we've never encountered something like that, except with Jake. Jake just tells the most off-color jokes, and we love Jake, and we miss having him on the show. But when he was here, I had to take a scalpel to this show because he'd go off on these oddball tangents. Like, Jake, I can't.
It was a sledgehammer.
Yeah, but it wasn't like with him. That. It would be like weird because that's not who he is as a person. He just like, I told this joke and I thought it'd be funny, and you're like, yeah, it's swing and a miss, man.
Yeah, try again. No, Jake is great people, and he's doing the Lord's work out there in Wesleyville on borough council out there. So, but it's hard to like, oh, I want to talk. Like, I have so much stuff. Like, I mean, people that I know, people that I talk to, we have, and Brent, I'm sure, has a ton of stuff that we just can't bring up on the show, you know, whether it be personal, political, professional, any of that stuff. Yeah. You have to keep it under wraps. And it's like,
my actual name, for instance.
Yeah. Oh, my. Brent got doxed on TV.
Well, let's not go too into it.
Yeah. It was funny. It was purely accidental and with good intention.
Quick question on that. I saw your name when I was driving up 79.
Yep, that's where I got it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I just saw it, and I was actually working with Dill that day, and I was way out of town. I came back, and I'm like, if I ever need a pseudonym, I found it. Okay. And he's like, well, I need a pseudonym too, and mine's going to be Dill Spears. And all of a sudden, like 7 years later, we're using them.
Yeah. We've had numerous people send us pictures of it. Yeah. That's where you got the name? Yes.
Because it's just, like I said, it's close enough to plausible, but definitely fake, you know? Like,
yeah, it's definitely plausible. Yeah, all of ours are little Easter eggs of various. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, yours is pretty close to the surface, I'd say, Dill.
I love Dill Pickles, yes.
Yes. yeah, what, the littlest one on Rugrats?
Yeah.
Yeah. Baby. Yeah. No, I think the best one.
He got into some crazy shit, tell you.
Bill and Lil, damn it.
We call him Ted Brogan. And his brother is, of course, Joe Brogan.
Of course.
He's very short. Has a lot of weird drugs.
Really odd opinions about, like, bleach and ivermectin and stuff. Yeah. And their dad?
But I love him anyway.
Hulk
He's
Brogan.
My brother. Yes.
I still call him the Ricker. I don't care. the Ricker doesn't need a nickname. He already has one. Or the Rictator, whatever.
The Rictator. Depends on what kind of mood he's in.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to do a little fun thing. We're not going to put this on the clock.
Dump a dump a dump dump a dump. I like making the song. I don't give a crap.
We're going to do the Idiotville questions.
Oh, shit.
So now, these are hard hitting.
These are hard hitting. And I'm going to need you two to decide which one of you is going to answer the Idiotville questions.
They can't both answer?
They can both answer.
You can both answer. Okay. All right. All right. So, and this is what we would like with this is the first thing that comes into your mind. with no explanation. Very important that you do not explain.
Okay.
Okay, so the first question, we'll go to you, Lydia.
Mm-hmm.
What is the best sandwich?
Veggie. Okay.
Marty.
Chicken bacon ranch, so.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with Marty on that.
Yeah, I'm yeah. Marty.
1-0.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to keep score. Marty, what's one thing you own that you really should throw out?
It's always old t-shirts I got for free. So.
Oh, man. Okay. They're hard to throw up.
Yeah.
Shoes with holes in them.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I have both of those things.
Yeah, I'm actually wearing
both. Good answers, both.
Yeah. All right. 2-1.
That's all right, yes. So, Lydia, what beach at the peninsula are you going to?
Oh, none.
Okay, that is an answer.
Yeah.
Marty?
I think it's 1.
Okay.
I don't know the beaches that
right.
well.
There is a game called Start Bench Cut where you pick one to be your one that is your go-to.
Uh-huh.
There is one that you will have in reserve, and then there's one that you will get rid of. Start Bench Cut.
Okay.
3 choices, okay? Start Bench Cut, Smith's Hot Dogs, Pepperoni Balls, Sponge Candy.
Start Sponge Candy, Bench Pepperoni Balls, and Cut Smith's Hot Dogs because I don't eat pepperoni or hot dogs. Oh, wait, I can't explain.
Yes.
Start Pepperoni Balls, Bench Hot Dogs, Cut SpongeBob, or Sponge Candy.
You can SpongeBob.
I am sick of heat.
I'm going to cut him.
SpongeBob catching some random heat.
He makes Squidward's like way too hard. I'm over it.
Marty reaches into her boat and pulls out a K-bar. She's like, I'm going to cut SpongeBob.
I know you guys didn't ask me this, but fuck SpongeBob. Yes.
All right. Marty, who was the last person you asked for an autograph?
I don't think I've ever asked for an autograph. I've never really met a famous person.
Okay. Lydia.
Same, but I gave my autograph.
Yeah. Oh, boom.
Oh,
okay. Nice flex.
That's baller right there.
Lydia, what is your least...
Lydia wins that one.
Yes. Lydia, what is your least favorite smell?
Farts.
Cut grass, freshly cut grass.
Oh, what?
Don't really like cut grass.
I don't like
okay.
the smell.
All right. All right. Marty, what is the most used app on your phone?
YouTube.
Okay.
Pinterest.
Lydia. Okay.
Hell yeah.
All right. You get one song to listen to for the rest of your life. What is it?
Sounds like a trap.
500 Miles by what's that? What, you know?
The Proclaimers. I like that song.
Brent, what movie was that from?
That was from Betty and June.
Thank you very much.
What?
Yes. I don't. I knew that he would know that.
As of right now, Know Your Enemy by Rage Against the Machine.
Okay. That's a good one.
Oh, good one.
All right. Marty, how many pennies could fit in this room?
1,000,000.
That's wrong.
I mean, they probably.
Yeah, I mean, you could fit 1,000,000 pennies in this room.
3 billion.
I think that might be a little high.
Yeah.
You're a little high. Well,
not yet.
Not yet. Like, yeah. I mean, it's early in the day.
Yeah.
All right, and then
gonna watch BoJack Horseman and Light One. It's gonna be a good night. Yeah,
I'm gonna go watch Iowa lose to Michigan.
Yeah, after Penn State.
Sorry, I got a little.
All right, so most annoying local fan base: Browns fans, Steelers fans, or Bills fans.
I think Bills fans have more merge.
So they're annoying.
I guess.
All right. That's fair.
I mean, I don't sports. I didn't know you were going to give us options. I was going to say Oliver Hazard Perry fans.
You know what? Yes.
He's from here.
Wasn't that, didn't you guys, I think it was Burdick you guys interviewed on that one. I think that might be my favorite episode of your guys' show. That was a really good one, yeah.
Yeah, I do love Disco Perry down in the Squareville.
Yeah.
God, fuck that guy.
What if all you know is don't give up the ship and you refuse to learn anything else about him?
Well, that sounds like CRT to me.
Mediocre.
Yeah, that is banned right there at Pencrest School District. So,
although I will say,
I'm a Pencrest graduate, so yeah, all right. I see it.
Go ahead, Marty.
I grew up in Pittsburgh, so I'm a Steelers fan, but if I want an alternate team, it would definitely be the Bills.
You know what? I'm kind of on that same bandwagon right now. I'm a big Steelers fan, but I enjoy Bills fans so much that I want to see their team succeed.
Yeah.
They're the most fun group of people. Like, it's just the stadium is a shoebox. The city is a shithole, but I'm not going to speak nice about Buffalo. It's awful, but
the Goo Goo Dolls are from there, you swine.
Sorry. No, but they're Browns fans are the most annoying, although I could very much say Steelers fans are the most
annoying. Why are the Browns fans the most annoying?
Because they have an
Because they have an elf as their mascot, but then they're called the Dog Pound? Like, that makes no fucking sense to me. I don't know.
I mean, that, and they're named after a color.
Yeah, they're actually named after a guy.
Who's
named
Brownie.
Paul Brown. Yeah.
But, no, Browns fans have this undeserved sense of entitlement. They've never done anything, but everything is about them.
That's pretty much it. When they're bad, nobody's ever been this bad, and we should all feel bad for them.
When
they're good, how dare you think any team's going to compete with the almighty Cleveland Browns? Like, shut up. It's all about you.
Yeah, so that's how I feel. Like, if I weren't a Steelers fan, I would definitely say that Steelers fans are the most annoying because
we're up there.
We live in the past. It's awful.
I guess that was cognitive dissonance. Yes, Steelers fans are annoying. I just didn't want to admit it.
Yeah, we really are. So, Brent has a couple of non Idiotville questions for you.
Okay.
Non Idiotville questions.
Pitch your show. Just a quick little elevator pitch. Why should I be listening? Why should I be watching R. Erie?
Because we are authentic and we really care about actual people and challenging systems that we've all kind of just accepted hold power over our lives, and we don't want that anymore. So yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, that's great. And where can we find you?
That's the second one.
At R. Erie Series on Facebook, Instagram,
Twitter,
Facebook, Twitter,
Spotify,
Apple Podcasts. Like anywhere you get your podcasts, you can find us.
Yep.
I think he meant, where can we find you? What's your personal address?
So my address is my social security number.
Neither of us are on social media right now.
Yeah, we're not. No, we took a cleanse. That's
right. Oh, good for you. Yeah. I wish I could do that.
I wish I could do that, but I had this fucking show to promote.
It was so fair.
Yeah, well, good.
Well, we know where I stand on that, so.
Very excited for you guys to pick it back up.
Yeah,
we really are. I'm looking forward to hopefully this new format working out really well for you. I'm going to have to go back and do some re-listens.
And so, yeah, we're definitely, these are our friends, and we can't wait for the rubber match.
We're going to bum rush.
It's going to be a bad one. Well, we'll do it like we did with, who was it, Four Comic Junkies last year, where we just kind of they would like lie and make up something about us being evil, and then we would just reciprocate, and it was all in fun, but then half of our friends would be like, what the hell's wrong with that guy? And you're like, we need to roll it back.
And the best thing is I've been on his show a couple times.
Yeah, and I'm like, JJ's our friend.
Oh, he's like the nicest guy ever. Yeah.
Coming to my house on Monday. So that's going to do it for Idiotville 220. We want to thank you ladies for joining us.
Thank you.
Be sure to check out R. Erie when it returns and listen to the backlog, because I think you'll really enjoy it. So for Ted Brogan.
Fun one today, guys. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm so glad I could entertain you. You weren't talking to me, were you?
No.
For Brent and Liberty.
Love you, Erie.
I am Dill Spears, and we will see you in hell.
Peace.
The Idiotville team would like to thank Community Access Media, the Autocalypse Food Truck, Palermo Realty, our Patreon subscribers, and all of our listeners for their support and contributions. We love you, Erie.